Famous Amos chocolate chip cookies are so iconic that I just say Famous Amos and it's like I can taste it. Each cookie is filled with semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch. And the word satisfying is very key there because some cookies are crunchy and brittle, and I don't like that. But Famous Amos has a deep, tooth-sinkable, satisfying crunch that I know and love. And Famous Amos classic bite-sized chocolate chip cookies are bringing back the original recipe that everyone knows and loves. One perfect bite, everything classic in a cookie. Find Famous Amos cookies anywhere you buy your favorite snacks. So, Aisha, I thought we'd start off with a lightning round, if that's okay with you.
I love that, yeah.
Number one, you're stranded on a deserted island, and you only have access to one type of hot pepper.
Oh.
What pepper do you pick?
A Scotch bonnet.
Yes! I'm so happy. I love the Scotch bonnet pepper. I bought Melinda's Scotch bonnet pepper sauce, and it was pretty good, but it didn't quite have that, like, you know, that hit you down deep kind of spice.
You've got to just go straight Jamaican and get the grace.
Okay. All right. I'm going to get that, like, as soon as we finish.
Perfect.
Next up in the lightning round, you grew up in the Toronto suburbs until you were 14. I gather you're a big fan of the classic Canadian snack food known as ketchup chips.
Oh, my God. Yes.
These are, for folks who don't know, these are ketchup-flavored potato chips, which for some strange reason have not caught on down here. What is your favorite brand of ketchup chips?
Oh, the Lay's. I remember growing up at the time, it was the only one that I ever ate.
How would you describe a ketchup chip to someone who's never eaten one?
Tangy, sweet, with a little tomato back end.
Got it. Is it better than actual ketchup?
Yes. Yes. I just love, oh my God. Like you can't just have a handful of chips. You're definitely eating the whole bag.
Final lightning round question. I understand you're famous in your family for your deep fried Oreos.
Ah, yes.
What's your secret?
Pancake batter.
Oh.
Bisquick. It's so easy, but it comes out pillowy and delicious.
This sounds to me like the kind of thing you want late at night after a few too many drinks.
Facts. Yes, absolutely.
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman. Each week on our show, we obsess about food to learn more about people. At 32, Aisha Curry has built a food empire. She's a cookbook author, TV host. She's launched restaurants, cookware lines, and a Napa Valley wine company. Last summer, she debuted a new lifestyle magazine called Sweet July that also has a store in Oakland. She's got 7 million followers on Instagram, where she often features pics of her family. I was excited to talk with her to hear the story of the making of a major food entrepreneur. Was she always so ambitious? How did food come to be her path? And what don't people understand about how she's gotten to where she is? As you heard, Aisha grew up outside Toronto. At school, she was given the nickname United Nations because of her Jamaican, Chinese, Polish, African-American heritage. Her mom ran a hair salon in the basement of their house. And as a kid, Aisha was put to work.
Just imagine Saturday, women coming in to get their hair done. The place is packed up. It's the basement of our house. There's people waiting, people inevitably showing up late, and it just like backs up the whole system. I would help my mom on Saturdays like answer the phone. It was called Sisters with Scissors. So I'd be like, good afternoon, Sisters with Scissors. This is Aisha. Can I help you? So what happened was our babysitter at the time, Dora, she was from Trinidad, and she made the most amazing rotis. So on Saturdays, Ooh. She would actually make potato rotis upstairs, and I would run up and bring them down for the client, and like nobody would complain about having to wait. It was incredible.
Oh, got it. Yes.
So it just worked. People knew they would come, get fed. People would linger after, for sure.
Right. Like, oh, I'm still in line. I'm still waiting. Do I get another roti?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me more about those rotis.
Oh, just delicious. And she did it like super yard style. So in the thin, like traditional skillet pan on the electric stove top, like just really old school.
The Jamaican food that Aisha grew up with would become a big part of her cookbooks down the road. She features recipes for her grandmother's escovitch fish and Jamaican curry chicken and fried dumplings. Then there's her mother's brown sugar chicken.
It's so nostalgic to me. It is we used to call it sweet chicken. So I kind of renamed it brown sugar chicken. It's like a stewed chicken Asian style wing hybrid. Ooh. Soy sauce is the base. And then the brown sugar, and you kind of make a sticky, really sticky, yummy sauce. And it just cooks in the oven. The chicken skin gets like candy. It is just so delicious. But like, we could quadruple the batch, and there's still never any leftovers. Like, it's incredible. Right. I won't even post on Instagram anymore when I make it, just because I'm very selfish with my brown sugar chicken.
You're afraid someone's going to show up at the door?
Yeah. It's so good, though.
When you were 14, your family moved from the Toronto suburbs to Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Which I would suspect involved encountering some new foods.
Yes. It was a culture shock for sure for me, coming from this place that's like a cultural melting pot, and you have every type of food, every type of culture you could imagine on any given block, to then move to Charlotte. It's actually Waxhaw, North Carolina, the land of like chicken and biscuits and pork chops and gravy. It was definitely Bojangles. Yum. Definitely new to me. But yeah, I grew a love for it and fried chicken and all that. So yeah, definitely a culture shock though.
Is there a moment that you recall when that culture shock really hit home?
I just remember being in the cafeteria during lunch one day, watching everyone dip their pizza in ranch. So just that was a moment for me, just seeing the cultural differences.
Yeah. Did you ever come around to pizza and ranch dressing?
No, it's not my thing.
Yeah, this is going to be sacrilegious to some people, but yeah, I just never loved ranch dressing.
Me either.
I'm sorry. There's just something about it. Like, maybe I don't know. Maybe I just haven't had a really, is there such thing as a high quality ranch dressing? Maybe I'm only eating the bad ones. I don't know.
I mean, it tastes good. It's just a thought for me of dousing what's supposed to be this healthy, lively salad or whatever in buttermilk. Like, I can't wrap my head around it.
And I know you've said that growing up, you watched a lot of food TV.
Yeah.
You saw Rachel Ray, Emeril.
Yeah.
What did you learn from them?
Those shows raised me. They're like my Saturday morning cartoons for sure. I learned so much. I feel like I learned the way, you know, Emeril or Rachel would have their hand on the knife and like how they like their knife skills and how to chop and how to take nothing like and make it into something. So that I think is how I grew my love for it. And you know, at the time Emeril did Emeril Live. And so seeing the joy in the audience on the people's faces, I think was really cool to me.
What are some of the things that you feel that you maybe picked up on from those shows or just that have gotten better at over the years?
That tasting moment is really important on camera. Like, people need to see that. It's the moment that everyone waits for. Like, what's the verdict?
I've done a bit of food TV, and I always get too excited to eat, and then I take too big a bite of the food. And then they're like, just all the cameramen are just sitting there pointing the cameras at me, waiting for me to swallow the food so that I can talk again without being disgusting.
So you gotta get the sauce off your face.
Right, right. They're like, cut, hose down the host again.
Oh my goodness.
It was in North Carolina where Aisha met her future husband, Steph Curry. They were teenagers, met at a church youth group. They wouldn't start dating for a few years, but she writes in her first cookbook that they bonded over their shared love of Canadian candy, especially fuzzy peaches. When he was 23, she was 22, they got married at the same church where they first met. By that point, he had become an NBA star, playing for the Golden State Warriors. They were living in San Francisco. That's where Aisha's relationship with food began to shift. And so you took cooking classes in San Francisco in part to learn how to poach eggs, you said, which you said was a lifelong a lifelong fear, which, Aisha, this is a safe space, no judgment. I have never poached an egg in my life.
Well, there we go.
But I'm curious, like, what was scary about egg poaching for you, and where are we at now with the egg poaching?
It was weird because it's something I never tried. It just seemed intimidating to me, oddly enough. Like, I can fry the heck out of something, and I can sear, and I can chop. But poaching that egg, like, I don't know. And so one of the whole assignments, like, one day of class was, like, all about eggs. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like my yolk's gonna break. I'm not gonna do this right. What's the proper method? And then I realized, oh my God, this is so easy. It is not that serious, but something can look so intimidating and be like very easy. So it was nice to get over that fear.
Do you remember the moment you decided to turn your passion for cooking into a career?
It's always something I wanted to do. I just didn't know that I could. I didn't really have any examples of anybody like me doing that. So I didn't know it was in the realm of possibilities for me.
Aisha struck out on her own, creating a blog and YouTube channel called Little Lights of Mine. She posted cooking videos and exercise routines, but also videos of her family life. Then in 2014, Drake released the huge hit song 0 to 100, which includes the lyric, "I've been Steph Curry with the shot," then turns to a cooking reference.
Been Steph Curry with the shot, been cooking with the sauce, Chef Curry with the pot, boy. 360 with the wrist, boy.
Aisha remixed the song and put up a video of her performing it in the kitchen while cooking.
Yeah. Put it in the freezer, just chill quick. Oven 0 to 100, yup, real quick. What you cooking with? These is real myths. Knowing all the chefs gon' feel this. I'm the real Chef Curry with the pot, what?
The video went viral. To date, it's got over 5 million views. Aisha's profile started getting bigger. She'd already debuted a line of aprons and olive oils, which are helpfully featured in that video. But she says she still hit barriers as she tried to move up in her career. It's interesting that you said that you kind of always knew you wanted to do it, you just didn't know you could.
Yeah.
Was there ever a moment when you were starting out on this path that you doubted yourself?
Yes. It was definitely the first time I went into food. I hope I can say this. It's the first time I went into Food Network to pitch my show. And it was like a hard no the first time because they said I was too young, didn't have a demographic there. But it was like really my dream, you know? It's all the people that I'd watched growing up. I was like, I think I can do this. So that was kind of, that kind of put a damper on like my confidence because it made me feel like I wasn't in the right space, right? By giving me those confines and telling me I didn't have a demographic.
Yeah, what does that mean? What did that mean to you?
I don't know what that meant. I still actually question that to this day, but fast forward like a couple of months, it just took like one person to change the whole narrative. And this woman at Food Network had just become a mom. And so she started following along with my recipes and my blog. And she was like, no, I see it. Like she does have, I guess that's what she meant by demographic, like this young mom. She was like, no, she definitely does. Let's give it a shot.
Coming up, Aisha's career starts to take off, and she has to deal with assumptions people make because of who her husband is. Plus, we get into the pros and cons of cooking with your kids. Stick around.
And now, a delicious word from our sponsors.
Mm-mm, it's very good.
Norwegian Cruise Line breaks the boundaries of global cruise travel. When you cruise with NCL, you're going to get award-winning specialty restaurants, a variety of food and beverage offerings, immersive entertainment, and the most thrilling experiences at sea. It is first class. These ships have all kinds of specialty restaurants, Brazilian steakhouse, French, Spanish, Italian, Japanese, Mexican. Select ships also feature alfresco dining on the waterfront and Ocean Boulevard, an oceanside promenade lined with bars and restaurants. Norwegian provides guests with truly authentic and fresh dining and bar experiences complemented by exceptional service. Almost everything you'll eat is prepared from scratch by highly experienced chefs. And they got whatever you're going to be in the mood for. You want a quick casual family meal? They've got that. You want a beautiful four-course feast? They've got that too. And you can sip something delicious at one of up to 23 unique bar and lounge options per ship. Visit and explore exciting destinations around the world and enjoy unique experiences on board. With no set dining and entertainment times and no formal dress codes, you have the flexibility to design your ideal vacation. Book your next adventure at ncl.com. Recently, I went into my closet to try to get a collared shirt out, and it occurred to me that I don't think I have bought a new collared shirt in 5 years. I mean, every shirt in there was either really old, or it had some kind of perma-stain situation, or it probably never fit right in the first place. I gotta freshen up a little bit here. It's time for something new, right? And spring is coming. Now is the time if you've been looking to refresh your wardrobe, home, or skincare and beauty routines this season. Because, you know, Walmart has genuinely surprising style finds that don't break the bank. This spring, there's only one destination for the latest fashion, home, and beauty inspired by real life. Walmart. I freshened up my wardrobe. I got some nice dress shirts, a couple light hoodies. You know, you need light hoodies for the springtime. Very useful, very comfortable. Discover surprisingly stylish new season favorites at Walmart now, or shop it all on the Walmart app. Go to walmart.com/nowtrending. That's walmart.com/nowtrending. Now trending, your style at Walmart. This episode is brought to you by Merrick Pet Care. We have a dog. Her name is Sasha. She's almost four. She's a standard poodle. She's black and fluffy and soft and very adorable. And when we first got her, we took her to like this puppy kindergarten training class. The whole family went, and you know, they're teaching you how to use the treats and all this. The trainer watched Sasha for a bit and said, she's very food motivated. And my daughter Emily turned to me and said, she's a Pashman. And so she is food motivated. And that's why we make a point of feeding Sasha high quality pet food. Founded in Hereford, Texas, Merrick has been crafting high-quality dog food for over 30 years. Real is Merrick's recipe, so they always use deboned meat, fish, or poultry as the number one ingredient. And let me tell you something. When it's dinner time, Sasha is motivated, okay? She is highly motivated to come in from patrolling the backyard at dinner, to get up off the couch, whatever she's doing, she will drop it and come running. Check out Merrick online or in your local pet store and look for their new packaging with real ingredients shown on the bag and inside it. I enjoy a nice glass of wine, but I don't pretend to be an expert in wine. I usually just want a wine that's high quality, delicious, and not too expensive. And to me, that's Bogle Family Vineyards. And here's the thing about Bogle. This is a third-generation family-owned winery from California that makes exceptional wines for about $10 a bottle. Bogle wines consistently earn Best Buy designations and high ratings from wine enthusiasts. And let me tell you something. The folks at Wine Enthusiast, they drink a lot of wine. They drink a lot of fancy, expensive wine. And yet they still keep giving great ratings to Bogle. And Bogle Vineyards has so many different kinds of wine. Whatever your mood, whatever you're eating, there's a wine for you. They got this great Pinot Grigio that's crisp and fruity, goes well with spicy foods, with fish. They have a classic Chardonnay that's balanced, amazing with a pork tenderloin or butter chicken. I like to take that Chardonnay and do what Jacques Pepin taught me, a couple of ice cubes in your glass of Bogle. If Jacques Pepin says it's okay, then it's okay. And there's the Bogle Pinot Noir, refined and elegant with bright fruit and about as food-friendly as a red wine can be. You're not going to believe it's only $10. Neither will your friends if you tell them. So pick up a few bottles of Bogle wherever you buy your favorite wines. Please drink responsibly. Welcome back to The Sporkful. I'm Dan Pashman. In last week's show, we consider the lobster. In colonial times, lobster was routinely served to prisoners. It was called the cockroach of the sea. So what changed?
There's one story that the newspaper tycoon William Randolph Hearst was one of the first people who started to make lobster into something special when he ordered a bunch for a dinner party in Colorado. You know, to get the live lobster all the way to Colorado for his dinner party was a sign of how powerful and wealthy he was.
It's a deep dive into the fascinating history and biology of these crustaceans. That episode's up now. Get it wherever you got this one. Now, back to my conversation with Aisha Curry. When you did get your Food Network show in 2016, you were shooting it in your home kitchen, not on a set. What was that like, making a show in your own house?
Chaotic. I would not recommend it because it was chaotic. And my kids were so little at the time. So I was just trying to find balance to be able to like nurse and feed them and be present with them while still filming the show. Bad idea. Like, can you imagine how many times we had to hold for sound? Like, just nuts. So silly.
That same year Aisha's Food Network show debuted, she released her first cookbook, The Seasoned Life. It blended the Jamaican food of her youth with the other pillars of her food experience. The Southern cooking she picked up in North Carolina and the diverse California cooking she was surrounded with. So alongside jerk turkey, there are recipes for things like Carolina chowder and prosciutto egg cups with asparagus. Aisha partnered with the chef Michael Mina on a pop-up at San Francisco called International Smoke, with a menu featuring regional and international barbecue. In 2017, she turned it into a full-fledged restaurant, and over the next few years, they opened locations in Houston, San Diego, and Vegas. I have not had the opportunity to eat at an International Smoke, but I love the concept of it.
Thank you.
And I mean, as a big fan of gochujang, I very much want to eat the Korean style gochujang ribs.
They're so good.
You also have the Mexican style chipotle ribs. But I'm curious to hear more about the actual nitty gritty details of the process of developing those menu items.
I would say our menu is extremely collaborative, and it was intentionally done that way. So like if we have like a really awesome Pakistani chef, he like will bring in a recipe that his grandmother passed down and we'll put it on the menu. We had one amazing Jamaican chef and she brought in her two cents and we put it on the menu. We did it that way on purpose. We wanted it to feel like family. And we said, what's more family than a barbecue? I can't think of anything more family than a barbecue. And then we said, anywhere you go in the world, that culture has their style of grilling.
Well, and I especially like, I mean, to me, yes, you're right. Grilling exists in many places. I think that in the U.S., we tend to think of barbecue specifically as this American thing. But the truth is, like, as we've discussed on this show with the culinary historian Michael Twitty, like, barbecue itself was a combination of European meats with cooking techniques and spices brought by enslaved people from West Africa and from the Caribbean.
Yep.
So like barbecue itself really is an international dish, even as it is cooked and served in America.
Truly.
So I like the idea of taking that concept and like blowing it up to the next level.
Truly. Thank you. My next hurdle and something that I'm really excited to dive into is I'm going to try and create an all vegan offering at the restaurant. Don't know how I'm going to do it yet.
Okay.
Probably going to revolve around jackfruit somehow.
Right, yeah.
But I'll figure it out. I actually used to sell vegan soul food at a farmer's market when I was 18 years old.
Really? Tell me more about that.
I would sell Brazilian nut meat chili at the farmer's market. And it was just like my Saturday gig to like get some extra cash.
So were you making the chili?
No, not at all. I wasn't even vegan. I wasn't even eating the food. Like I just, people would be like, are you vegan? Yes, absolutely. It's delicious. But now I'm into it.
What did you learn from that experience selling the vegan Brazilian nut meat chili at the farmer's market?
That there's a market for it.
Throughout Aisha's work, from her early blogging to her cookbooks to her social media today, her kids make frequent appearances. She's got three of them, ages 8, 5, and 4. She often cooks with them, as I do with my kids. So I thought we should compare notes. What are the pros and cons of cooking with your kids?
The pros, I feel like it instills kitchen confidence in them from a young age. If you start implementing it from a young age, those healthy eating habits and allowing them to see that they can prepare meals for themselves, I think, you know, it gets embedded and ingrained in there and it carries through, hopefully, we'll see, through their adulthood. Another pro is the memories you build. I just feel like it's just some of my best memories are with my mom and my grandma in the kitchen. And so I hope to build that with them as well. Big con, the mess. Like sometimes I feel like I just want to pull my hair out. It just gets so messy. And now they're at the age where like I'll catch them in there by themselves, like trying to make microwave cakes that they saw on YouTube. I'm like, oh my gosh, this mess. And like now like this fake dough is like stuck on this container and I can't get it off. It's like, oh my goodness.
I think you summed up all the pros and cons very well. I would just add for me, I don't know if this is true for you, like, you know, I try not to be too much of a perfectionist, but like I'm still cooking the thing and I want it to turn out well.
Yeah.
Like you want it to look nice.
Exactly.
Right?
They're like, they're like, can I garnish? And I'm like, I'm the last step and somebody's coming over.
Right.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. You know, like these kids, they can't, I mean, they can't even butter an English muffin without it looking like an axe murderer
took the
English muffin. I mean, it's just, it looks like the English muffin was attacked, you know?
But it brings them so much joy and confidence. And then almost always they eat whatever they've made. So it's a great way to sneak attack them, to like get them to eat.
In the years since Aisha started her blog, not everything has taken off. The Food Network show only lasted 2 seasons. A delivery meal kit didn't pan out. But as an entrepreneur, she's definitely had more hits than misses. She created a successful wine brand and a cookware line that's in stores across the country. Her first cookbook hit the New York Times bestseller list. And she launched a charity with her husband called Eat, Learn, Play. Just a few weeks ago, she testified before Congress on the issue of childhood hunger.
I'm like super sensitive about my work. So I take everything seriously. Nothing is ever fly by night for me. I really like quality is key. And it's something that I've had to learn over time because I was so grateful for a lot of the opportunities that were coming my way. And it got to a point where like I was feeling swamped and swarmed in my business and not necessarily doing exactly what it was that I set out to do. And so now I've really scaled it back. And I truly believe in like quality over quantity. So I've gotten really good at saying no. That has allowed me to have some sort of balance.
Are you aware of something that changed for you that allowed you to make that shift?
I just had to realize that I could be grateful and have graciousness without always having to say yes, because I was losing my lust and brightness for what I was doing.
I would think some of it may also be just sort of getting a little older and getting more confident.
Yeah.
Like you need a certain amount of confidence to be able to say no to an opportunity, to believe that there's going to be another opportunity around the corner.
That is true. That is so true. And I guess like now that I think about it, I did start my career relatively young at 23. So yeah, I kind of grew into my business as I grew into adulthood.
Right.
I've learned, honestly, to make sure that I have all of my hands and eyes and ears on the things that I'm doing, to read everything. To like young entrepreneurs, that would be like my main point of advice, is like read every contract, top to bottom. So just like stay on top of your stuff and be trusting, but don't trust too much.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you always feel like you were going to be the kind of person who would have been an entrepreneur starting your own businesses? Like wherever life had taken you, do you feel like you would have ended up in this, doing something like this?
I personally think so. While a lot of people would disagree that don't know me, I come from like a family of entrepreneurs, especially the women. My mom had her business for 40 years. And it's all I really know. I just know like hard work and starting something yourself.
One of the realities of Aisha's life is that as her profile has grown, so has her husband's. He became an all-star, an MVP, a world champ. When she would do interviews to talk about her work, first thing people would ask about was Steph.
I would say the struggle for me is in people realizing how hard I really do work. I think that that's like a big thing for me. Everybody thinks things just happen and they don't. And there's like a lot of behind the scenes. I'm a very behind the scenes worker. So I like to work silently and then like have the work speak for itself. And oftentimes what ends up happening is people just think that it pops out of nowhere and it doesn't. And so I think that's where my struggle comes in.
Right, right. Is that what you're referring to earlier? You sort of said that certain people have the wrong impression.
Yeah.
Yes. I can't say this for sure. I don't know your experience, but I would suspect that those kinds of, oh, it just came out of nowhere, thoughts and accusations are leveled more often against women, perhaps, than men who are successful.
I would say so. Yes. That's my politically correct answer. I would say so.
And you were talking about kind of your approach to your business on an interview in Nightline, and you said one thing that my mom always told me was to never lose yourself inside of your marriage. Can you tell me more about that?
Yeah. I had moved out to LA very young and was working and doing my thing. And so I always felt like I needed to keep that part of me. And it can change to some capacity, but I always felt like it was something that made me who I am. Me being able to like exercise my creativity. And so I've always just wanted to make sure that I keep that and have that to bring to the table. And that might change over the years, which is fine. But for right now, I think that's a huge part of me and makes me who I am. So I never want to lose that.
That's Ayesha Curry. Her new cookbook is out now. It's called The Full Plate. Flavor-filled, easy recipes for families with no time and a lot to do. Next week on the show, my guest is chef and Top Chef star Tom Colicchio. We'll talk about how he and the show have changed since it launched 15 years ago. That's next week. While you wait for that one, make sure you check out last week's show in which we consider the lobster. And please make sure you connect with our show so you don't miss future episodes. In Spotify and Stitcher, follow. In Apple Podcasts, subscribe. Thanks. This show is produced by me along with senior producer
Emma Morgenstern
and producer
Andre Sohara.
Our editor is
Tracy Samuelson.
The show is mixed by
Jared O'Connell.
Music help from Black Label Music. The Sporkful is a production of Stitcher. Our executive producers are Peter Clowney and Daisy Rosario. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman.
And I'm Emmy, calling from Travis Air Force Base in Fairfield, California, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.